Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And I'd like to do a commentary on day 21. And the Bible verse is from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 40. And it reads, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." That's Luke 19, verse 40. And the passage is called, or the reading is called, Praise Running Over. And in the reading, actually, it is another part of the Bible that the retelling is about. It takes place in Acts chapter 4, around verse 20. But it reminds me of a little children's song. I had to go look up the verse, the words to the song. I think the name of the song, so if you ever want to look it up, is called Peter and John Went to Pray. It's called Peter and John Went to Pray. And this is how the song goes. It says, Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palms. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and jumping and praising God, walking and jumping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I love that little song. It's on one of the albums that I used to play for my kids when they were little. And now they have kids of their own. But I did like that song. It is a story that is told in this day 21. How Peter and John were, they knew the Lord. They had seen the Lord. They had been with him in his time when he was on earth. They had given their hearts to him. They had gone through the crucifixion and the resurrection. And they had, they are now his witnesses to people. And daily they would go to the temple, and they would, at that temple, they would pray. They would go in the hour time of prayer. In the time of prayer, they usually would have people out there who needed money, who would beg for money. And one day as they were going on that time of prayer, they saw this man, and they said to him, "We don't have any money to give you, but what we can give you, we can give you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And that's really something for us to think about too. We have been given this amazing gift of new life. We have been given the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us right now. And in that Spirit, nothing is impossible. If we are doing it under the dictates of the Lord, nothing is impossible. And so, yeah, when we realize that we can become so much like this man, we leap and hop, you know, we are leaping and hopping and praising God, leaping and hopping and praising God. We do that in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ. And I am just so grateful again for my salvation. So grateful for my salvation. And I was sharing with someone that I did not always have the faith that I have today. And I certainly did not have the assurance that I have today. I know this about the assurance of God, is that he was the one who placed that inside of me. He has given me the assurance that his word is truth, that as I am studying His word. I can stand on everything that is promised to me. Because, like I've said before, God is a promise keeper and he does not lie. And what is so sad is that, you know, this is true for everyone who has given their life to the Lord. And sometimes they don't even know what they have been given. That's why sometimes you hear me compare coming to the Lord, giving our life to the Lord. And if we are not in the Word of God, we're missing out a whole lot. We're missing out on a whole lot of what we can have right here, even before we are going to heaven. We are missing out on a lot of those gifts because we have not taken the time to read the manual for living, which is the Bible. I've said this just recently again, more than once, is that when we pray, we are talking to the Lord. But when we are in the Word of God with our hearts, he is talking to us. If we want to know what God says or even the answers to some of our prayers, we must be in the Word so that we can recognize his voice and hear the things that he is telling us. And so thank the Lord, you know, for what he does in our life. But I wanted to also read that section where that verse came from at the beginning. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And that was Luke 19. And I wanted to read it in context. This is 19, verse 40. And it was beginning at verse 28. And it says, after Jesus had said this, and he had been speaking again, he had told about the parables of the 10 minas. And after that, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethage and Bethany on the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloak on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloak on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them, you know, I'm sorry, teachers, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they kept quiet, the stones would cry out. So that's where that verse came, is actually a story of what we know as Palm Sunday. We call it Palm Sunday, where, you know, Jesus is making that triumphal entry before he meets his death on what we call Good Friday. And the reason we call that Good Friday is because of the good that came about as a result of his giving his life for us. And that is an amazing, amazing truth that we want to put into our hearts. And again, I would not know any of this stuff if I had not been drawn to read the Word of God. And I was drawn to read the Word of God by other people who went before me. And this is why the Bible tells us, you know, if you look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says that, about that we are a chosen race, you know, a royal priesthood, a people for his own possession, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are people who should be about proclaiming the excellence of God. That's how people find out about God. They find out from others who were touched to their hearts and changed and transformed, and they speak about it. And in their speaking and living it out in their lives, other people are drawn to know this magnificent gift of Jesus Christ. As I even spoke or alluded to in this reading, I had it, it says here, in the end of that page, the first page, it says, whenever I experience something wonderful, I cannot keep my mouth closed about it. This certainly was true about being set free from the food. And that was my story. I had struggled so long with the food. I had struggled about 37 years with the food. I think I was, I was 37 when I finally became abstinent, and that was 37 years ago that I became abstinent. But I struggled for 37 years with the food. Even when I was a child, I had, I would eat and eat. I mean, I would eat until I got sick because of the food I liked, what I thought was the taste of the food. And I thought that was the greatest pleasure in life, with eating in that way. And it's not. The greatest pleasure and delight is the Lord. And unfortunately, I did not know that until, you know, many years later, that this was true. And as a result, though, I got caught into addictive behavior with the food, popping food, eating food, and it showed up definitely on my body. And for me, it showed up, you know, as overweight. I was overweight, and I could not control my weight, and I had enough vanity that I was willing to try to diet it away, but even the dieting stopped working. At the beginning, it used to work, but it stopped working because I didn't have any control over it. And I found a group of people who learned how to control their food intake by being on a food plan and having of support of others who were on the same food plan. And I really thought that was the key to life, because what it did is that I lost the weight, and I had a group of friends that also had lost the weight, and we just thought we were, they used to use the term bee's knees, I thought we were the bee's knees, that we were all that and more, and we thought also that was the answer to life, that if everybody got their food in order, that would be the answer to life. And it seemed that way, but it's not true. We definitely need to have our food in order as Christians, but for a whole different reason. That food in order for us in Bible for Food is tied into a besetting sin if we don't. the besetting sin is gluttony, that we express gluttony when we refuse to take the tool of ordering our food. Our food needs to be in order. And when it's not in order, then we fall into sin. And the sin is that we make the food a false god. We run after it. We spend money on it. We indulge our flesh. We spend time on it. We obsess about it. We obsess about our weight. We obsess about, you know, body image and appearance. We obsess, we obsess, we obsess. And yeah, it's a false god. That type of intensity about anything only belongs to the Lord. You know, at one time Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind. And if we are honest with ourselves, those of us who struggle with the food, we know that a king of food was the one that had that place in our life. Did we love some food? Yes, we did. Did we talk about some food? Yes, we did. Did we chase after food? Yes, we did. And all of those things, you know, should be for the Lord alone. And I'm not fooling myself. This I know is true, is that even if I just today decided, I'll just eat what I want to eat, I would be off and running, because my discipline with my food actually is a consequence of my abusing food, but it's also a blessing to me, because it does give me a way to eat in a way that keeps my body lean and healthy. But the power to continually do that and not fall into a another rut of thinking that it's all about my body image and my appearance, you know. Ooh, no, it's not. That is just a byproduct that my body image gets into a normal size and my appearance goes up a couple of notches because of that. But that's not my commission. My commission is not to take that message of getting out of the food to the world. I used to say, you know, that my primary purpose was to help someone who had compulsive eating. Well, no, it's not to get them on my food plan or anything like that. My primary purpose is to tell people about the living Savior. We all need a Savior. He can move a mountain, and we need to know Him. And if a person doesn't know Him, God has left me here to tell them about Him. And I tell them about Him not merely by my words, but how am I living the things that I tell them about. I want to live that out for the Lord. And so my praise is that He told me about this, and He showed me people, and He saved me. Oh, He saved me. He's given me purpose and place. He's given me a joy unspeakable. I am grateful to the Lord. So my prayer becomes the same. Father, I pray to let my life shout of the salvation you have given to me. Please, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray for the courage to witness and share the good news. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen.